What's up, everybody? This is the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky, and we talk about politics, society, and culture here. And if you're into that, well, let's get toasty. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Toasty Podcast. If you're looking for the number one politics, society, and culture podcast, you've come to the right place. Sky created the Toasty brand to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. We call that staying toasty. If you support our work, please subscribe and tell others about our show. Today I have a special guest. I've known him for a long time, childhood friend, I would say. We haven't really talked in years, but, you know, I think he is similar to a lot of us. He's a critical thinker and independent thinker. So without further ado, I mean, he can introduce himself to you guys, and then we'll get going.
Hey, guys. So, I'm Luke. And like Sky was saying, we've known each other for a long time. And just kind of stayed connected over social media. I've done a lot of different things in the last, 15 years since we were hanging out in Texas.
Dude, that long, huh? Golly, man.
Yep, been a minute. So, I did spend 8 years in the Marine Corps Reserves. Did some time as a police officer. And then currently I'm with Walmart. So very, very different stuff.
Yeah, dude, that's a big change, mm-hmm. man. So,
yep.
Anyway, back to what we were talking about, really, though. We were talking about podcasts, and yeah. You said Wonders and Mysteries or something like that. It was like conspiracy. Mm-hmm. That was the first podcast you listened to?
Yeah. And I listened to it religiously. I was like, yeah.
It's probably freaking interesting. I haven't listened to that one specifically. I mean, there's like the Tinfoil Hat and things like that are good podcasts. Mm-hmm. I think people are coming around to the idea of just conspiracy theories in general. Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, dude, I don't know if I'd label it conspiracy all the time. Yeah, some of them are pretty whack, but
right.
It's just the fact that people think about these things that could happen. And I don't think people understand that. Like, they don't understand that whenever I come up with this theory, I'm like, man, what if, you know? And they don't understand in my head. Well, I don't know. Some people might just immediately believe it, but most people that I've met don't just instantly believe these things, but they'll talk about them, you know? They want to know what people think about these things. Like, what if this happened? Have you thought about that? But a lot of people just discredit it. No, it couldn't happen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's so interesting. The labels have shifted and changed. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, it's conspiracy theory is like a right-wing thing, but whatever. I digress. Yeah. But yeah, man. What else have you listened to? Is that what like got you into podcasting in general?
That's kind of what I started, and then of course you got to listen to Joe Rogan because he's like the number one. And I started seeing your stuff pop up. Jocko Willick is another good one,
dude. Jocko, man. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I struggle with so the way I run my podcast, I struggle with it a little bit because it's just me, and I'm like. I would love to have, this big show that has producers and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not there yet, but I love talking to people. And so far it's been good because, it's like networking without networking. If that makes sense, mm-hmm. like I don't have to go to some weird convention and talk to people about business. I don't like doing that. It's kind of weird to me. It's almost like mm-hmm. salesman-y,
Yeah.
Instead, I can have an actual person in front of me, and they can tell me all the stuff they want to tell me, and we can talk. And at the end mm-hmm. of it, I've gained a friend,
Yeah.
That I could, like, actually text. And that's what I like about it. It's amazing mm-hmm. for that, anyway. Anyway, we can talk about your, the reason I have you on, the reason I even, came up with this conversation was because during, COVID and during the pandemic and the lockdowns and things like that, and when they did vaccine mandates and things like that, you were still in the Marine Corps, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. I think it's just a matter of giving the public or my audience the perspective your perspective, really, and what was happening,
Yeah. Yeah, so, thankfully, like with my unit, they were pretty understanding and didn't have as much, in my opinion, like political pressure. While they were still getting, a lot from, big Marine Corps telling them like, hey, you know, like you don't have options. Don't give your guys options. Like they have to do this.
Where are you stationed, by the way? I forgot to ask.
I'm actually at a remote unit in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Okay, so you're in Virginia. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and just to clarify, these are not opinions of the Marine Corps, and I do not represent the Marine Corps in any way.
Boom! You've already been like contracted out and everything, right? You're done.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I'm out, and I'm it was the
legal done.
Legal done. But yeah, I love the Marine Corps. Like, the best time of my life, the best job, the best people. But unfortunately, that last, I don't know, 8 months, there was just a lot of stuff that happened that was disappointing. And it was all around the vaccines and kind of like some wokeism, if that's a term I can use, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you can. Well, yeah, you can use any terms you want, dude. It's free, yep. Man, free.
So, but yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, there was guys that were applying for religious exemptions. There's guys who were just like, no, I just don't want it. It's just like not something that I'm for. And you know, everyone always says like so they're like in boot camp, you get something that's called the peanut butter shot, and it is just like a mess of vaccines and medications and stuff in it, and it's so thick that they inject it in your butt cheek, and it creates like a lump, and that's why they call it the peanut butter shot.
What
because
the heck,
it, it's like a gel that goes into your into
they
your
mix all those things
cheek.
Together. That's just yeah, weird just, to me. Like, how is that even? Like a, how's that even like?
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds
and
terrible.
Of course they don't mix everything, because you literally go down a line and there's a nurse or corpsman on either side of you, and they just hit both shoulders with vaccines and shots, and you don't know what it is, and then at the very end they hit you with a peanut butter shot.
Wow!
So you're just getting like pumped full of stuff, right? So everybody, including myself, went through that, right?
Do you like get so sick or anything? Like, do you?
Oh yeah,
like,
you get terribly sick.
What the heck, man?
They call it the recruit crud. And it's a mixture of all the stuff that they give you, and then just being around, you know, like there's guys from New York and New Jersey and, you know, Oregon, and they're, well, not Oregon, but Maine, and everything to the right of the Mississippi, there's people represented, right? You know? And so you're getting all these different like sicknesses that you're not normally exposed to, on top of just getting like pounded with vaccines and medications and stuff, you know, that your body's not normal. So you get terribly sick. I was like miserable for about a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
So all that to say, like, vaccines and like being like the military's like test dummy, it just kind of comes with being in the military, right? This one was different.
Yeah. You know? I mean, people have said that too. That's one of the arguments, you know, they're like, well, yeah, you're contracted to the government, so they can, right, do pretty much, they own you at that point, right? But
yeah,
this one was different. But I want to know, like, was it only different because people were actually like thinking about it this time and not just letting someone stick something in their arm? Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure that it was just kind of like the, because it was popular to resist, and then it was popular to go along with it, you know? So you had both sides. And I'm sure that that's why a lot of people that wouldn't have thought about it, you know, and resisted getting it administered. But then on the other, the things that made it different was when the vaccine first came out, it didn't actually qualify to be administered to the military because it hadn't been around long enough and it hadn't been tested. So the Joint Chiefs of Staff actually came together and were like, yeah, this is going to be voluntary. And then the Biden administration came in and rewrote the rules and the verbiage in the medical, I forget what it's called, but essentially like, the reasons why military can like receive you know, this type of medical
so they made intervention. The rules, so they made the rules broader, I guess, and then they're able to, man.
Yep, and it was specifically for the vaccine. They rewrote it so that we could take an experimental vaccine that didn't require, that didn't meet the standards that the military had set for vaccines, specifically for this one. So that's why it was different, because all the other ones have been tested and, you know,
met the qualifications and that are actually set. And now this one doesn't really meet any qualifications. Honestly, right. There wasn't a qualification that says there's no emergency authorization qualification, I don't think. Right. I think it's just based on the public. That's insane, man. That's you know, but did you end up doing it because you were in the Marines at the time?
Yeah, so I was in the military and under a non-obligation contract. So at any point, I could step away. And it's a little bit different with the reserves versus active duty. Is everybody technically signs an 8-year contract. And then there's obligated time and non-obligated time. And the difference is like, hey, we own you all the time, or we only own you in the time of war. And that's where I was, is I was in non-obligated time where I only had to be there if they do like a recall in like time of war. But me and a lot of reservists, we love it so much and we want to do it, so we train in our non-obligated time where we don't have to be there. And that's where I was at. So because of a lot of different reasons, you know, this was a part of it. I dropped out of active training, and now I'm like out of contract completely. But that was a special situation for me, is there were guys that were under contracted in their obligated time and they don't have an option. Like, you will get it, or you will be, you know, charged and forced out.
Wow. Holy crap, man. Yeah. It's just weird that, you know, you're getting forced out. Like, was it true that, you know, there was a lot of headlines during that time too, where they were saying that Biden was going to dishonorably discharge these guys. Is that how it ended up, or did it end up just being a normal discharge, like a special circumstance, so I think it's, or whatever?
Other than honorable, and don't quote me on that, but that's my understanding. It was other than honorable, which just kind of means, it's like not a, like dishonorable would be like if you like deserted,
actually committed a crime or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Committed a crime, you know. Yeah. So this was just kind of like a medium where it's like you didn't get out under honorable terms, but it's just kind of generic. Like,
right.
Hey, you know, we're not going to say exactly why, you know. So it's not good. You know, it's not a good way to get out. But it's not like you've been charged with anything.
Right. Right. Well, I guess that's good. It's just weird. So it may not affect you on the outside necessarily, but it's just like your military reputation is kind of
government jobs. 100%. It will affect you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Like a dishonorable discharge, it's going to affect you at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Other than honorable, you know, probably not. But then like, if you go for, anything beyond just like a civilian job that is not affiliated, like has no military contracts or anything like that,
yeah,
then you'll probably be okay. But government jobs, 100%, they will look at that and say you don't follow orders,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, did the military actually make you like second guess a lot of stuff? Like even before the vaccine was a thing, you know. Did it already kind of like, did you have anything that happened in the military where you were like, oh man, government is not necessarily the best thing in the world? Or did you already have that going in? I don't know. I can't remember necessarily. I know you seemed like a person that might challenge things when we grew up, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know what you kind of thought when you were going in.
Yeah. You know, I did grow up and, you know, I was raised pretty much by my mom, and she did, you know, like raise me to question and ask and, you know, self-reflect, you know. So I think I just kind of automatically, like, I was raised that way. So I just was given the opportunity to see a lot of things to make you question and like be like, hey, is this the right thing? You know, so the military and the police both created avenues for me to be like,
huh. The police, man. Yeah, that's so I didn't know that about you, dude. I didn't know you were like a police officer. I mean, how long though? Like, was it like short? Because you're like, I
about
this
5 years.
Whoa. Okay, that's not short.
Yep.
Really? Where at?
Mm-hmm. Here in Lynchburg.
No way, dude. Okay, yep. is Lynchburg? So obviously, I've heard of it. I haven't actually been. I don't think. Maybe I've driven through it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Small, big. What's the size here?
So yeah, it's probably about the size of like Tyler, Texas.
Oh, for real?
Yeah,
dude. By the way, you have an accent now. I don't think you had like whenever we were growing up, dude. You did not have an accent, bro.
Yeah, I did pick up an accent.
What the heck, man?
Yeah, my wife is like born and raised, and so from Virginia.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
Yeah, dude. I was like,
I do have like certain twangs.
First, you got on this freaking phone call. I'm like, whoa, what the heck? That's Luke now, huh? You know, that's hilarious, man. Wow, man. But yeah, so about being a police officer, you know, how is that? I mean, you know, so 5 years, was it like during the time of all the turmoil, or was it just like kind of like a long time ago? I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah. So it was like 2015, and it was right under 5 years, but 2015 to what? Like January 2020.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you were there during the first Trump election, and you had that spike of BLM and everything.
Yep.
Wow, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you anything big stand out to you, like while you're a police officer?
So a couple things, like, you know, we're talking about like BLM, like, you know, people that tend to get policed a lot
we know statistics, bro. Low income neighborhoods or low income people. Yeah, right.
Yep. So they
talk a lot about
constantly get fed, you know, information and in a rolling like media cycle, right? So sometimes they're more militant, sometimes they're not. You know, it just depends on like what the media is feeding them. You know, so
that's interesting that you said that.
Yeah.
It like literally depends on what's actually flowing down in information and media. That's
it really
weird,
is,
man.
It really is. Cause like they would say, for instance, you would be in a community, and generally I had a really good relationship. Oftentimes like people would thank me, you know, after we left court, you know, like I had just gotten them like charged with something, and they'd be like, hey, thanks, you know, for treating me the way you did, or, you know, so as a general rule, the police in Lynchburg had a pretty good like relationship, you know, one-on-one. But you'd still have like people who would be like, you're killing us. If you shot us down the streets, are you going to shoot me? You know? And I'd be like, well, at the time when I first had got on with the police department, the Lynchburg police hadn't shot anyone in like 20 years.
Right.
And I'd be like, no. And then the first person that did get shot, actually the last three, is unfortunately there was because of the increase in attention and the increase in like lawlessness. Unfortunately, that means that you're going to have people not listening. So then you eventually have to have lethal force, but they were white. And then they would say, you're killing black people. And I'd be like, well, actually,
actually
it's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's been 20 years and now it's three white guys. Right.
You know, but now it's white people, to be honest with you. Like, as terrible as death is, and as terrible as it was on those officers and the people's, the victims, or the
people who lost their lives. It's definitely traumatic. It's definitely traumatic for everyone involved.
Yeah.
But you're right, though. Statistically, I mean, I agree with that. You know, and I think everyone can look at the numbers all day long and see statistics over, like, you know, police brutality and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't really think that helps anymore. And that kind of goes into my next thing. You know, I think we're in the middle of a culture war, specifically.
Yeah.
There's polarization, of course, on both sides. But I think that the worst part of it is that, you know, both parties are standing their ground to what they think, it's not really going over well. So, like, you can show them all the data in the world, you know, and that doesn't do anything as long as the media says what they say.
Right.
You know, I want to know your thoughts on that, though, as far as culture war, as far as what you're seeing, things like that. I mean, you've been a part of both military sides, I guess I could say, you know, and that means that you've seen, honestly, it means that you've seen that. You've seen the people that are against this and that and whatever.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any experience with the bad side of the judicial system as far as actually wrong for the public, if that makes sense?
Well, it's a tough question because it depends on like who it's wrong for. You know, I had a specific situation. This was kind of towards the end. And this is where it would be wrong in our mindset, you know, from what I've heard, you know, on this podcast and on your social media. I think you agree with me. So this would be wrong in my eyes. I had a individual who's wanted. I saw him on the street. went through my, you know, hey, you know, you need to talk to me. Then he started running. Hey, you're wanted. You know, stop police. That whole thing. You know.
Right.
So I chased him for several blocks, and thankfully. He got tired before I did. So I finally caught up to him, got him under arrest, took him down to the jail. So in Virginia, we have a magistrate system. So police officers, while we do make the decision to arrest, we don't ultimately get to decide if the arrest is legitimate or not.
Oh.
The magistrate decides that.
Is that better or worse? It sounds like it might be better, but I'm not sure.
It's good because you kind of are now are it's a checks and balances.
Right.
I thought it was good, you know, so it's not just on one person's decision whether you go to jail. You now have to have an officer who's made the decision in the moment, knows what happened, and then they have to present their case to say, hey, 51%, it's 51% likely, essentially, that this happened, and this is why. And then the magistrate listens to it and says, okay, you know, I know the law and you're right. That sounds like 51%. It's likely that this happened.
Yeah.
And then they go to jail.
So it's like someone that wasn't there, doesn't have the emotional attachment to it. No matter what you think, like subconsciously, you know, a police officer will have that emotional attachment. That's good. That's interesting. Well, I didn't know that.
So it's good. So then so charges went through, right? He did run. He was wanted. And then the bad side of it, because the individual that was the magistrate was very, you know, kind of had, I think had been doing it a long time and like felt like people were getting oppressed, specifically like a black male, right? And so she could have held him, but instead, she said, all right, you're going to be released on your own recognizance, even though he had just run from the police, right? Because being released on your own recognizance implies that you're going to comply with the law.
Yeah. You know, do you think that's because of pressure above her? Like, what's above that, you know?
Yeah. So they're pretty autonomous as far as I know. Like, they kind of make their decisions. Now they do have to like follow like guidelines. But it's simply social pressure.
Wow. That's why I was asking, man,
to be lenient.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So dang, dude.
And then the rest of the picture is the next night he beat his girlfriend's head in with a soup can.
Oh, wow. Yep. I didn't know there was more to the story. Holy crap, dude.
Yep.
Jeez, man.
So if he had been held, because he's obviously not a compliant, like, law-abiding citizen, which is the point of being, like, released, is you're saying, hey, you made a bad decision, but I'm going to not inconvenience you. I'm going to let you go because you're a good citizen.
It was
overall.
Like your first time and you haven't really had any record and all that crap. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You and know, that's go ahead.
That's kind of what I was getting at, you know. Because I've been to jail, you know. full disclosure, I have been to jail, but you know, and it was a low point, whatever. And I agree with all the stuff that happened kind of in a way, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of nuances that happened where I was kind of like, you know, that's dumb. That's dumb. And like, it was more about taxpayers and the system itself being insanely long and bureaucratic. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, it was a first charge for me. I haven't actually talked about it on the show. I don't really care though. People can know about it. This was like six mm-hmm. years ago. It was a DWI and I was at the limit, not above it. And it was, you know, calculated. So I, you know, this was 3 hours go by and I get blood tested, blah, 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 whatever, dude. Long story short, dude, good experience overall, but you know, I was in jail for 4 days. And so it's interesting to me, you know, and that's why I heard all these stories, right? You hear all these people that say, oh, you know, it was, you know, one day and the judge says what they need mm-hmm. to say and then you go, you're out.
Yeah.
You know, you pay your bill or whatever you need to pay and you're mm-hmm. out, right? So first thing was, I got transferred. They didn't let me see a judge. I went to the county jail. And then the second thing was, you know, I'm in holding facilities. It was the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And I get to see why people say there's a quota for cops. Now, I don't mm-hmm. know if that's true everywhere, mm-hmm. but right here in Fort Worth, you know, literally the whole thing was full. It was so full, it was overflowed that you had everyone in holding facilities to the brim pretty much.
Yeah.
And they have like 20 holding facilities in this place. It's a county, you know, it's a big county jail. So it's like mm-hmm. a lot going on. And I'm like, wow, dude, like they just stack them up. You know, and literally everyone in there talking to me, first of all, common misconception, everyone in jail is not mean. They're all kind of like, just want to get out just the same as you. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you know, they were like, man, it's the end of the month. This is how it goes. I'm like, what the heck, dude? First of all, how do you know that? Are you a regular?
Yeah.
but you know, whatever. But, you know, finally, you know, I get my roommate at the time, you know, shout out to Peyton. He paid my bill at the time so that I could get out and pay him back. But, because I can't, you know, you can't exchange anything. You're in freaking jail.
Right.
You know, he gave cash because it has to be cash. And mm-hmm. see, this is where I question it. Like, you have to give cash no matter what. It goes into someone's hands. Maybe they're good. Maybe they're not. I have no idea.
Yeah.
They wait till their shift is done in order for the next guy that comes on shift to process that. Mm-hmm. That's not, I don't think that's how it's supposed to go. That's how it went for me. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's all under the guise of scared straight, you know, like, oh, let's teach this guy a lesson, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's all fine and dandy. I obviously had already gotten to the point where I was like, yeah, I realized what I did. Let's figure this out so I can move on, you know.
Let's get out of here, yeah.
Right. And I finally did, you know, but my point is like, that process, man, it was insane. I was like, dude, that's insane. That's crazy. Honestly, I'll say this. I regret what I did, but I don't necessarily regret going to jail because it gave me a whole new perspective on things.
Yeah.
And I'm all about that. I love that, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's one of the seven wonders of the world. Like I don't want to go there and see that, you know, but man, that's why I asked, cuz like this whole process is insane. I think that it's very bloated and I'm not going to even sit here and try to say we need to change that now, because that's a very long thing that you may not even ever be able to do. But that's insane. That soup can story, man. That sucks. And I don't think we have that. I don't know. I can't say for sure, but I wouldn't say we have that problem in Texas whenever you. But maybe we do. I don't know, because maybe we're all arresting people that smoke weed and then we don't have any room. We don't have any room for real people that need to be in jail, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's a complicated question because, you know, like, so there's the whole, you know, where you're supposed to have due process, right? A quick and speedy trial. And I don't see that happening in Virginia. You know, I've gone, and some of it's caused by the person, but then other is caused by just the system. The majority of it is the system, where you'll have people who haven't gotten their final verdict for 2 years. To me, that's not a quick and speedy trial, right?
Golly, not at all.
And for your situation, you know, like, and you can't paint law enforcement with broad strokes, because jurisdiction to jurisdiction, state to state, is very different. You know, recently started like trying to get everyone like on the same board and like how they handle things. I mean, yeah, everyone thinks that the police is the same, but like, yeah, there's like different organizations that kind of like create a standard, but not everyone joins the organization. And there's not, so that, you know, Lynchburg was a part and they were accredited, where there's unaccredited police departments that essentially are just, they do whatever they want.
Right.
As long as it's their interpretation of the law.
Right. Interesting.
You have places in Virginia that will arrest you with a firearm because of a firearm, where an officer in Lynchburg would not even dream of arresting you for that same thing.
Huh.
And so,
wow.
Everyone just, you know, assumes because in America we think we're all equal, we're all the same, we all get treated the same, and that everything is kind of like picturesque. That was one of the biggest things that I learned becoming a police officer, is there are not really set standards for police work in the U.S. Like, everything is very different.
Holy crap.
Depending on where you're at. Yeah.
That can obviously could lead to problems. Like, I mean, we've seen it obviously too, but yeah. You know, you've got, I guess, no training standard then, and you've got no law enforcement standard. That's wild. That's really wild. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's probably why you get treated differently, though. Like, say you get pulled over by a state trooper. It's always a different experience to me than whenever I'm in Lyndale and I get pulled over, right? You already know growing up, dude. I got speeding tickets all the time. But, like, like it was just constantly Walker, Texas Ranger out here in Lyndale trying to just freaking go ham on you. And you're like, dude, I was doing 40 and a 35. I'm sorry, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it. Then you move to the city. Like I did, and it's like, actually, I went to Washington State. Not even remotely the same treatment.
Yeah,
you know, my friends, I wasn't even in the car. Got pulled over in my car while I was at work. Whenever they visited me, actually, I think you remember these guys. It was Justin and Nolan. But But they got pulled over because I had a loud exhaust. The girl cop, the woman cop, was just like, "You have a loud exhaust." Technically, it's like a noise violation. And we're like, what? Like, they told me about this. I was like, that's dumb. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Mm. And she was just like, but there's so many cars out here. Just go. And it was like, whatever. Yeah. It was cool. It was just a normal thing. You know, it wasn't this weird thing. And then I got pulled over again, and he asked about my registration because I just bought the car, and I showed him the paper. Mm-hmm. And he's like, cool, man. That's all I need to know. See ya. And it wasn't this big thing. Like, they don't try to make every encounter this big ordeal to teach or whatever they think, right? And that's what Lyndale cops were like. So I can see it.
If I know, if I'm correct, I think Texas has like a zero tolerance policy.
Yeah, they do. And that's why. So, And that's why so it happened the way it did.
They just say like, if it's a crime, you know.
Well, my biggest pet peeve was, you know, whenever I got arrested, I was like, hey, do you have a breathalyzer? And he was like, I don't keep one in my car. Literally said that to me. And I was like, what? What? Yeah. Are you serious? He's like, oh, we have to do a blood test. I'm like, no, dude, I want to do this. Let's go. You know, I was ready because I'd already done the tests and I passed all of them, all the stuff he gave me or whatever. Mm-hmm. He seemed like a new cop. I don't know. He looked at his partner and he was like, kind of like what to do kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all those things together, my lawyer actually, because I ended up actually getting a lawyer because I was like, you know, you have to. That's another thing that peeves me off. I have to pay a lot of money because I don't understand anything about this judicial system that I'm supposed to be able to be tried on and be, you know, and maybe that's on me for not, maybe that's on me for not learning it. But then again, like they make it so complicated so that you have to have an expert come in and talk you or get you through it, you know? And lawyer was good. You know, I didn't do the public defendant thing because we know how that goes, supposedly what I've heard. And not great, man. And he literally watched the video and he was like, we got it, man. You want to do this? You want to go to trial? He wanted me to. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to go all the way. I don't have freaking money for that. I had money to pay him to get me through the first part. Yeah. And, you know, for what I want to do, man, you know, not everything that happens on your resume is going to stop you from doing what you want to do.
Right.
You know? So I was like, nah, man, I'm okay because I'll get through it and I'll figure it out and I'll work around it. But, he was gung-ho about it because he's like, this cop is crazy. This cop literally lied in his report, because he did. I read his report, and I was like, what the heck? Yeah. You know, it wasn't like – and for the audience to hear, it wasn't like crazy lies. It was just small things like in the video, you watch me go through the walking thing or whatever the test that he does, and he's like – he was stumbling erratically and blah, blah, blah. Whenever when you watch the video, you're like, nah, dude, he's just doing it. It looks perfectly normal, right?
Yeah.
And those types of things. I think it was embellished. Mm-hmm. He embellished a lot.
Maybe that's
you know, the job. Maybe you need to sell your case. You know, maybe they have the same system in Texas where you were talking about. They have to sell it to the master. What did you call it?
Magistrate.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, but I don't know, man. That's wow. I had no idea you were a police officer, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
Holy crap. But
quick on that. I have not been to jail and I haven't been charged. But the reason that I wanted to work for Lynchburg was because I got detained 3 times prior to being a police officer.
Whoa.
And coming in my perspective, growing up in Texas, and I think it's because we were in a smaller town. You know, we could be places and do things and like never engage with law enforcement.
It's true. Yeah. You could be out of the way. Yeah. Yes.
You know, you could kind of like do silly things and, you know, burnouts and stuff. And you like wouldn't necessarily get it. If there would be no police officer there, or they wouldn't care, you know, if you're sitting in the Walmart parking lot. Right.
Yeah. That's true.
And it kind of turned out every time that I got detained, it was like an investigative thing. And it turned out like I wasn't doing anything wrong. They weren't, you know, there was nothing for them to like move forward on, you know, cause I hadn't done anything wrong. But I was just like blown away by like, how does this keep on happening to me? Like, you know, like
I'm in handcuffs again, bro.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. And I was just like and I'm not going to get into the details, but one of the specific situations, it was kind of similar in like the fact that there was a trainee cop and there was a partner, and they just like did all sorts of crazy things that were just inappropriate and probably against the law, and I was just like this can't be like the standard,
right?
You know,
right?
And so I wanted to like get into the system to like figure out why and like how I could change it. You know,
is that normal for police like cops? Like they get into the career and they're like, man, I'm going to change this. It's going to be good. Do they make fun of you when you walk in like that?
Yeah.
A lot of industries are like that. That's why I ask.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
oh, here we go. Yeah. Here's this guy, you know, he's going to come in and change the world. Yeah. Hey, everyone, here's Luke.
His job.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Fresh meat or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
Dude, I bet military does that probably. I bet, you know, in my industry, like dealerships, as I was in for like 10 years, they do the same thing. It's like, you know, you want to come in and change the dealership model, you know, because it's a good old boy industry and it's just ridiculous. But dang, dude, what led you out of it though? Because if you were, I mean, you're so gung-ho, 5 years later, you're like, this isn't it.
A lot of different reasons. There wasn't any one specific reason. One of the big reasons that's like tends to be the thing that I talk about because it's easier to explain is I essentially was tired of having someone or myself have to call my wife and say, hey, I'm in the emergency room. Had a dislocated knee after a foot pursuit. A guy broke my shoulder socket. I rolled up on a gunshot victim, and what just kind of like jumped into some of it. It's honestly, I jumped into like Marine Corps mode and started like giving first aid, and I didn't have any gloves and I had a cut on my hand. So then I had to go through like blood testing for a long time after that.
Right.
And to make sure that there was no like transmittable, you know, diseases.
Yeah, that could probably end up in a legal thing too. Like, you know, if they knew that and they were going to charge you with something, like you handled me without gloves and you had to cut or whatever. Man, that's crazy.
So I had a lot of injuries somebody spit in my eye. so I had to deal deal with that. Yeah. So my wife was just, you know, kind of like, hey, if we're going to make a change, like, it wouldn't be bad if you got out of this, you know,
please. Yeah. Work. Yeah, man. And that's, you know, no one hears about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They might talk about like, oh, you weren't in a gunfight or whatever. All these cops, they don't all do that. They all do paperwork. Mm-hmm. But like, from what it sounds like, even in Lynchburg, you know, you're still dealing with bad stuff. No one wants to get their shoulder dislocated, you know?
Yeah.
Or shoulder, dislocated, and then their knee as well. Like, what the heck,
dude? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there were some, you know, administration things that was not crazy about the city, not crazy about some of the decisions that the police department made, like as far as like supporting the police. And then amazingly, like the smallest reason that I left was this unrest of the people. Like, honestly, it was just part of my job. Like,
because you deal with that every day. You see all these people that are polarized or unhinged or whatever, even whenever nothing's happening necessarily, I bet you would just still see that. You still see the other side of the picture.
And I mean, like, so in your situation, probably one of the worst days of your life, you know, getting arrested.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'd put that down, yeah.
I understand it if you're acting like an ass, you know? Like, I get it, you know? But it's fair. Right. I'm the one taking you to jail. Right. Yeah, I'm not a firefighter. Like, I'm not here to, like, necessarily, like, save you, you know? Like,
right, yeah.
So I understand that, like, there is going to be a reason that you don't like me.
Right.
You know? And that wasn't, like, some people do leave because of that because they can't handle the pressure. But like, that was honestly like, it is what it is. I'll try to change your mind, try to make it a better experience, you know?
Yeah. Huh. All right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane. I didn't know that kind of stuff just happened to, you know, most cops, I guess. Does it happen to most cops? That kind of thing? Is that normal?
Oh, as far as like the injuries and stuff.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So not everybody, you know, there are people that, you know, made it through, without ever having an issue. But you know, yeah, like on the time that I was with the police department, someone had to get rabies shots cause they got bit, got spit on a lot. Somebody, broke their leg, their arm, there was four shoulder dislocations.
Jeez, dude.
Couple car wrecks. So yeah, I mean, it's a dangerous, you know, somebody got hit by a bull.
Yeah. Whoa.
You know,
yeah. What the heck? You know, I think a lot of these things compound, and it makes sense that, you know, you have all these good cops, quote unquote, leaving, you know?
Yeah.
Is that something you were seeing as well? Like good cops leaving? Cause everyone thinks the shift is happening where now we have all these cops that are just kind of like willy nilly or whatever, not the best. Is that actually happening?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And once again, it kind of comes back to, public opinion, because police departments want to hire college students. And they want to hire, and diversity is awesome. Like the Marine Corps, so diverse, right? The best time of my life, the best people that I've ever met. You know, some of my, you know, best friends, you know, are African American. You know, when I was in the schoolhouse, my best friend was Hispanic. Amazing. Love it. Right. But you don't hire because of that, you know? And so that's a shift where we have college kids who don't have any life experience, have never been hit in the face, becoming police officers who freak out when someone starts screaming at them, you know? And
yeah, that says a lot too about our culture, though, not necessarily just, you know, that's education. That's, you know, how you're brought up. That's all these things compounding. Yeah. So dang, dude. And then there, the problem too, that I have with all of this stuff compounding is that what happens whenever these cops now just listen to everything they're told, like that. That's terrible. That's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is that people don't actually realize that there's probably a lot of cops that are on the government's side, not yours, when it comes down to it. So what happens whenever they want to enforce whatever they want to enforce, and then they show up at your doorstep. You know, everyone wants to talk about this line they have. Like, everyone needs a line, honestly. Draw a line in the sand where you stand on a certain issue and where you will actually stop and fight back, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always said, I've long said, dude, I would never dream of shooting a cop. Obviously, I would never dream of shooting anybody. What the heck? You know, that's not something I want to do, obviously. Yeah. That'd probably be, you know, traumatizing. I'd probably be freaking messed up, whatever. But if a cop is going to be at my doorstep enforcing whatever it is, oh, let me take your gun. You said something wrong, you know, on social media, and now we're here to arrest you for that. You know, these things that actually go back to our Constitution. If they show up and they want to do that, that's it. That's it. That's where I'm fighting back. Yeah. And I've, all my friends now have talked about that because we all need that. We need to have a line that we talk about that we know that's where I stop. And because I see this shift that you talk about and these kids getting up and going into being a cop, and maybe they want to change the world. That's awesome. Maybe they're kids like – maybe they're, you know, my age or younger, and they're going to go in and they want to be against the government in a way, you know.
Yeah.
But likely not.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, and kind of like, just to say, for lack of a better term, shit hits the fan, then we have this split in America already that gets bigger and bigger. And then, you know, we do a peaceful divorce, and then, like the Civil War before, we have another Civil War.
Yeah.
That's where I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah. I 100%, like I was reading an article where I think it was – It was somewhere in Washington, and they were buying out. They were giving early retirement to all the old police officers, not old as in like, but just experienced police officers. They were buying their retirement out, and they were losing like hundreds at a time. And one of the theories that another police officer posted on social media was, he says it's easier to get a new doctrine if you don't have anyone who remembers the right way.
Right.
And I think that 100% is happening, where we're like cleansing anyone who would stand up. It's happening in the military 100%, is they don't want people who are free thinking. Oh yeah. They want people that are woke. They want people that, won't buck the system. So that in 20 years, They can tell you to do something.
I've definitely heard that. You know, I've obviously, you know, I listen to Tim Pool and things like that. They'll have people on, they'll be like, oh yeah, they're definitely doing this. They're changing the whole military to be woke or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you hear about it, but you've been in it, and you're saying that's what they're doing. They're doing that
100%.
And wow. So like the actual people above you are accepting people specifically based on woke agendas type stuff.
Yeah. And whether it's like, I don't know if it's some like conspiracy theory to overthrow the U.S. You know, I'm not saying that that's the case.
You don't know their motives.
I don't know their motives.
That's what,
if I were going to do it, that's how I'd do it.
But yeah,
weak-minded people into the place that's supposed to have the strongest people, so that when it comes down to defending or resisting, you don't have any resistance. Yeah.
My issue, you know, I hate this, you know, for all those listening right now, sorry for the black pill, but look, I 100% think you're accurate, but what do we do in that situation? that's kind of what I'm getting at here, you know, like also, if that's happening, that means years have gone by of this happening. You know? Yep. Like, it's not – because you were in the military before 2015? Or you were – well, like, active.
Yeah, so 2014, yeah.
Okay. And
February 2014.
Even then it was happening. You're talking about probably a decade or so at least. The shift doesn't happen overnight.
I started to see the shift – and the military did the same thing that they're doing with the police. And there's different reasons. I don't know the motives, but they forced out. So the majority of the veterans who saw combat in Iraq and Afghanistan got forced out of the military. They used the tattoo policy, was a big one. is they changed the tattoo policy and said, you can't have tattoos and get promoted. And so they lost every single combat vet because every single one of them has some tattoo that probably didn't fall within policy, whether it was because it was in the wrong place or didn't have the right ideology on it.
Well, yeah, and if they're still in it, they want to get promoted. So if they're not going to get promoted, then there's no way for them to keep going on the job.
So they forced out tens of thousands of combat vets that were all hardcore. It, like, if you were still in, it was because you were a hardcore war fighter who loved the Marine Corps or at least or the United States, one or the other. Your allegiance was one or the other. And the Marine Corps stands for the United States.
What was the reason they gave you for – do you remember the reason they would give for the tattoo policy changing? Or do they just it and say, oh, it changed. Sorry, guys.
So that when you got out – and this is the irony. So that when you got out, you were hireable. So they forced out like 100,000 combat vets because of their tattoos and made them become civilians and said, well, why we're doing this is so that you're hireable when you get out. So we don't want you to get all these tattoos.
Yeah, like I said, man, you know, there's a lot of things that don't matter whenever you're trying to get hired or do something with your life. You know what right. I mean?
Like wear a long sleeve shirt, you'll be all right.
Dude, you can do that for sure. Like, I've been in an industry where it's affluent clientele, you know, BMW, and I was a sales guy, you know, that's just cover it up. And now there's some tattoos you can't cover up, but that's where I'm like, how many people actually have face tattoos besides the new freaking, you know, rappers? I'm saying like neck and face tattoos. That's not normal. Yeah. That's a different story, you know, but that's just not common enough for me to, not even in the military. How many guys had face tattoos?
Right. I think it's fair. Like, you know, you can't have a face tattoo.
Oh, I agree. 100%.
In the military, you know, you gotta have some level of like professionalism.
Well,
that's
actually something you can't hide or you can't go and get a freaking nice job doing. That's accurate.
Yeah.
The rest of the tattoos that everyone else in the world gets, half sleeve, you know, chest, back, whatever it is, you can't see any of that. You know.
Yeah. So you couldn't have. You couldn't have anything that wrapped around a limb. You couldn't have anything that couldn't be covered by your palm. You couldn't have, obviously, nothing on your neck, which I think that's a good idea. Like, you know, like for the military, you know.
Right.
Because you want to look, there does need to be some uniformity. You know, you don't want just like guys like, you know. But yeah, so it was very restrictive. Very restrictive.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
This is where I'm gonna throw in. This is the bread and circuses, right? Have you heard that term?
I actually haven't.
So circuses is from the Romans. Is the Romans were having like terrible unrest with the people, and so they created like the Colosseums and created like where they were killing Jews and Christians in the Colosseums, and they were handing out free bread, and that was their way to control the populace. Is they gave them entertainment and they gave them food, and then they kind of helped the populace ignore the like travesties that the Roman government was doing to the people. All right, bread and circuses. You should look it up. You should do a podcast. You should do a whole like hour about it.
There's some parallels here, man.
So bread and circuses, they come out with the vaccine mandate for the military. And then I think it was 2 days later, might have been a week later, they said, we are broadening the tattoo policy.
Oh.
You guys can have tattoos.
It was one after another. Holy crap.
Wildly popular. Wildly popular. Like everyone was like, what? You know, we can get tattoos again and tattoos that, you know, that we wouldn't be able to have and we can stay in. And it was 100% calculated because they said, well, we're going to really piss off a lot of people. But then now we're going to be like, hey, we're
going to
adhere to the young generation and let them get tattoos that they haven't been previously allowed to get.
Well, especially if they're trying to, if they are trying to make this shift happen where it is, you know, young people that are weak-minded or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying weak-minded individuals get tattoos. I'm mainly saying the younger generations get more tattoos.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
100%.
And so they're catering to the young people in general, even if they're not woke necessarily. They're gonna do that.
Yeah.
100%. That's, wow, man. That's crazy. Bread and circuses. That's funny, dude. That's funny. Yeah, I'll look that up for sure because that's super interesting, I think. You know, is there anything else like you want to mention, like you want to talk about specifically? Conspiracies or things, you know, in that whole realm?
I mean, I love all this stuff. Like, I, you know, like I said earlier, like I don't know people's intentions, but...
That's the one thing I wanted to... Yeah, let's touch on that, man. Like what do you think... Why like I said, it would have to be longer. You said you started to see the shift when you were there in 2014 or whatever, but you know, I think that would have been a planned thing before that even. And so you're talking about establishment Republican and a Democrat presidents, leaders over several you know, terms coming up with these decisions, in my opinion. So what happened? Motive, you know, where does the motive fall? What do you think? You know,
right?
I don't, because I can't I can't sit here and say that people are evil. Like, I just can't.
Right.
I can't sit here and say that, you know, they're just all evil and, you know, they're Satan and they're out to ruin everyone's life.
Right.
Well, look, if you ruin everyone's life in America, you have no country.
Right.
Like, if you ruin the country, you ruin the country. I don't understand. They don't want that. They want more power, more countries, more things to be over. So why would they do it for that? I don't know if that's true. You know, then you have what is an actual good idea? Where does their, you know, I'm trying to get in their head, you know?
I mean, some of the people, you know, some of the politicians, I think it's just about money. And if you have a controllable populace, it's a whole lot easier to make personal gains, you know? And so if you sacrifice some liberties and you sacrifice some like economic prosperity, but you are improving yourself, then they don't care.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, you know, if you walk up to somebody and talk to them, right, and you're having a conversation or whatever, you don't, as a just anyone I've met really, you don't instantly want worse for that person, right?
Right.
I don't know. I just feel like maybe it's a God thing. I don't know, but you know, you're not just constantly looking, wanting the bad. And I think maybe what you're talking about comes from a separation, like they're so separated from what they're actually doing, what they actually have an effect on,
100%.
That that makes them to where they don't care. So that then they only see the money side, you know, and it's like, a CEO of a big company versus all the employees in the warehouses. Mm-hmm. Exhibit A is right now currently Amazon, right? You have a lot of warehouse workers up in arms trying to unionize because of working conditions, because of, you know, their policies are just out of whack, whatever, right? And to an extent, I'm actually seeing the warehouses side, the people that work in the warehouses side. You know, hearing these stories and everything else and seeing the evidence that these stories are true and this is how they treat their workers and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Well, then up at the top, you have Jeff Bezos. And I don't even know if he even thinks twice about those decisions, not because he doesn't like his warehouse workers, but just because he's just making money. So whenever he has his board come up and say, this is happening, this is our bottom line, this would help us out, this is what we should do, he's like, cool. Sounds good. Let's get it done. You know, and next thing you know, boom. And that's what I think politicians are in the midst of. It's running a lot more like a, you know, big company than it should.
Yeah.
You know, than a normal government that's there for the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause they've lost touch. You know, I watched a video of, Nancy Pelosi and I don't even know what the context of why she was there, but she was going into like a middle class, like, person's apartment, and just the look on her face was just like as if she was in like a cardboard slum hut. She was just like, oh my god, like these people live here, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that that's the reality is like, you know, like it's a, to me and you, it's a normal, like
it's a normal freaking place. Yeah.
You know? And yeah, maybe it's like 800 square feet, you know, but like we could live there, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm sure we have lived there or we currently live there, you know?
Holy crap. Dude, my apartment now is just like, like you got 800 square feet. It's an old school, which I guess adds character or whatever. Culturally, it's cool, I guess, but nah, man, you hear everything around you. The walls are tiny. I had to put up so many freaking acoustic panels just to get this thing to even happen, right? It's like, wow.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, so they're out of touch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, dude. Wow. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's something you can solve.
Yeah.
As far as term making limits. Them see it, you know, term limits.
Term limits.
That is one thing I actually hear from everybody. Term limits. You know, I talk to a lot of people on every side, on all every part of the political spectrum, and most of them say term limits. That's one thing that comes out of their mouth whenever you mention almost any problem. You're like, term limits. You know, it's like, wow, okay, dang. I guess maybe that's one good answer to start, you know, fixing it, right?
Yeah.
I haven't, and I, you know, I listen to a lot of governors running now. I listen to a lot of primary elections and what they run on and things like that. I don't actually hear a single one that says I'm running on term limits and stops right there, you know? Maybe that's because they're trying to cater to their state. Like, you know, I had Don Huffines on. He didn't – he did say, he's like, yeah, we need to have term limits. But that was like an add-on. It was like after he said deport illegals and all this crap, you know, you're like, bro, you can't – you're too extreme, first of all.
Yeah.
You can't just say that without context. People will not agree with you. Mm-mm. And then, you know, and then he was like, oh, yeah, and we should probably add term limits too. I'm like, dude, you're already way – you're not even – that's not even going to happen. That's like a – that's not even a blip on your radar right now, bro.
Yeah.
And I know if you say that, sure, whatever, it sounds cool, but it needs to be literally number one, your agenda is this. And he's in the Senate now, you know, or he was anyway. So I'm like, what are you doing there? Like he, you know, he came in and you can check politicians' voting records. They're public. So like I can see what a Senate voted for, a guy on the Senate voted for or whatever, or House of Representatives or whatever. I can see what they voted for or against. And, you know, I was just looking at everything. I'm like, dude, you're like milquetoast guy. And all of a sudden you're like, you know, I'm the next Trump for Texas pretty much.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, nah, man, I don't think you're going to do it. I just don't. I don't see it. You know, I don't see you pushing any of this stuff. Anyway, whatever. Mm-hmm. Long story short, you're right. They're super out of touch. I agree, man. And I mean, I think that's about it.
You know?
I think that's it. So, anyway, dude, it's been nice chatting with you, man. It's been almost an hour, so, you know?
But yeah. Wrap it up, huh?
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, unless you want to freaking keep going, I'm cool. I just don't know, you know, what other weird stuff we want to bring up. You know what I mean? Like this alien stuff, dude. Like, that's one thing.
Yeah.
I haven't really done a lot of research on that, to be honest. Have you listened to anything or watched anything or?
Like minimal.
Yeah.
One thing that I don't have enough to like talk about, like, you know, interestingly enough, but you know, I think it was something I was listening to something and they were talking about it and they were like, oh yeah. On a side note, like essentially the U.S. government has confirmed that UFOs are real, and we're just kind of like, okay. And then
okay, cool,
we're now like talking about Ukraine, you know, we're just
so there was a Breaking Points episode about that. I don't know if that's the specific one you're talking about, but I listened to Breaking Points. It's with Tom Sauger and Crystal something, I think, Crystal whatever. Anyways, they're really good. They're both on the exact opposite sides of the political spectrum, and they have the show together. Joe Rogan mentions them a lot. I don't know if you've seen them. But they talk about the UFOs. They literally were like, all right, so we're going to skip over this headline real quick. It's UFOs and Ukraine. You know, it's like, what the? You know? And then they laugh, and they're like, nah, just kidding. We'll talk about it. But that's one thing we're talking about. You know, it's just like that's how the media took it, you know. And, you know, as far as – I can talk a little bit deeper about that, though, with you. Even if we don't know for sure and we don't necessarily know what's going on in the government, from a religious standpoint, where do you fall when it comes to the alien topic?
Yeah. And I'm getting a signal from my broadcast crew over here.
Oh, no.
I need to wrap up.
Okay. But, all right. You know what? We don't have to. That was a big question to ask, too. Dang. I'm sorry.
Let me answer it since you. Oh, a brief since you asked it.
Okay, cool.
I think in the traditional sense, maybe not aliens, but I think there's context, like in the Bible, that says that there are things out there that are not angels, that like God created other things. He didn't just stop with us. I think there's context in the Bible to say that.
Oh, okay. I'll look into that. That's really good. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. I'm kind of okay. So I'm not on the same page as far as knowing that context, mm-hmm. but I can't sit here and not believe that there's not other stuff that could be possible. The only thing he told us is that we're the best. He didn't say that we're
created,
the only.
Created in his image.
Clearly. Yeah, exactly. So it's like he created animals too, though. So like we're thinking like, man, what else did he create? Yeah. Dude, you're on it, man. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but it and so for your research, if the biblical side of things, and there's a couple of people that have talked about it. Have you ever heard of Kent Hovind?
I think I have, actually. Yeah. So I haven't
looked
like into him.
He's like super polarizing. And he's like,
well, good disclosure.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, right as far, you know, right as you can get, as far like he's like, I think Southern Baptist. I mean, he's just like, you know, but talks about great stuff, has a lot of good research. And there's something in Genesis and it talks about like how there was some other being like came down and this is sometimes like pastors, like not to get into another topic, but like talk about like, LGBTQ or whatever, and that like about the flood. Well, there's context that it was not because they were, you know, committing sodomy exclusively. It was they were sleeping with some extraterrestrial creature.
Whoa! Yeah, what there the
was
heck?
Like, that there was what? That there, and that obviously that's not the terms, but essentially like there was another race that they were sleeping with that they weren't supposed to be sleeping with, and it was. And, you know, we just take it as, oh, well, yeah, they were Jewish and they weren't supposed to be sleeping with Muslims or whatever. But at the time, there was only one race. They were only a couple, like, 100 years out from Adam and Eve, you know, when the flood happened. Who else?
That's a good point.
How did they get so
as far
polarized?
As generations go, yeah. I mean, they did have a lot of kids, I'll say that. But, you know.
Yeah, but to create an entire other, like, population.
Right.
How would that have happened in just a few generations, you know? Anyways, it's
holy crap. Okay, wow. Well, that bombshell, dude, you know, it was freaking awesome chatting with you, dude. At some point, we should do this again. I mean, why not?
Sounds good,
I don't know if you ever – do you ever come to Texas at all? Are you ever in Texas?
Not in a while.
Not in a while, huh? Your parents or your mom, is that like they're not in Texas anymore?
I think everyone family wise, they've all left. So we're all in Virginia or in New Mexico. So.
Dang, dude. Well, I'm gonna have to do something, man. I need to come visit you or something. I'll bring the podcast set up to you, man. Let's do it. But
cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. And for the audience, I guess stay dosy.
Life's not fair, and I'm here for that. See what I seem to be back for that. Learn as I go, just an act for that. Back for that. But this ain't one of them boom boom paps, and this ain't one of them smash collabs. And I go hard like smash and grab. It's a beer. Yeah. Now all I want to do is make clear that all I'm trying to do is rap, but not like one of them mumble queers, cause all they seem to know is trap. You notice how I switch the flow for y'all, just to see y'all clap. Look, when it comes down to it, I'll get right down to it. Yeah.
Toasty.